I'm trying to help you out here, you know? Trying to help you out. Amen. I love you with all my heart, Lord. Yes, we do. Does anybody need translation into English? Anybody? Spanish into English? No? All right. We're getting a little bit of feedback, Jerry. I'm not sure if it's the monitors or something is feeding back. If you could, Jimmy, somebody could help me with this, please. Father God, yes. You have showed up here today yes. in a special way. And we are just in awe of you. Yes, I have a very strong sense that the kingdom of God has come to this place. I'm actually trembling this morning right now. I'm literally shaking in this pulpit. The kingdom of God has come into this place. And I don't think we really grasp the magnitude of that. Father, help me, Lord. I feel so inadequate in myself. I need your help. I need your anointing. I need your strength, Lord. I humbly ask for your help, Father, with this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The name of our message today is The King's Invitation, Your Part in God's Eternal Story. God has written a story in history. Somebody said history is his story. So God has been writing his story throughout history. And ultimately, everything that will take place will be under God's domain and will be under the orchestration of the province and power and destiny of God. Nothing's going to happen eternally that God does not allow. Do you follow what I'm saying? Even though we live in a temporary battle zone, like Jerry said, we are in a battle, and this world has been called, even in the Bible, the domain of darkness. This world that we live in is the present darkness. But the good news is that the light is pushing back the darkness. We are the soldiers of the light. We are the children of the heavenly King. Hallelujah. And ultimately, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. If you've never been to Handel's Messiah, how many of you have heard Handel's Messiah? All right, you need to go and buy the record or something, the CD, and listen to it. The record, that was a long time ago. Sorry about that. But it gets to the part where they start to sing the Hallelujah chorus. King of kings and Lord of lords, he shall reign forever and ever. And then it goes on, a lot better than I can sing. And then finally it says, King, and then they raise it an octave higher, and the sopranos and the tenors and everybody is singing. They're trying to replicate just a glimpse of what it sounds like in heaven. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared. Paul, when he was caught up to heaven, said, I saw things that were unlawful for me to talk about. It was before the time that it was meant to be revealed. Paul the apostle. So I was caught up to heaven. I had visions of glory. I need to say this to somebody here this morning. Somebody who's hurting, somebody who's been going through fire, somebody who's been battered, somebody who's been through one trial after another. The Lord says to you this morning, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small. Just one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Our scripture this morning starts in Matthew 22. Your part in God's eternal story, the King's invitation. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused to come. And then in Colossians 1:13, for God has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. May God bless his word to our hearts. Reading from the book Epic by John Eldridge. Some of you heard of John Eldridge, a great writer for men's ministry. He said these words, "Life can feel like a drama that we've been dropped into the middle of." And then he goes on to say, "Sometimes you feel like you've missed the first 45 minutes of a movie." Have you ever tried to watch a movie and you've missed the first half hour or the first 40 minutes and you're like, "I don't get it. I don't get the plot. I don't get the theme. I don't understand the characters." He says, sometimes we can feel that way about life, that we've been dropped right into the middle of a drama, but we don't understand it. Sometimes it feels wonderful. Sometimes it feels awful. Sometimes it's confusing mixture of both good and bad, and we don't have a clue as to how to make sense of it all. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God has a story for your life. God has a plan and a vision for your life. The reason that we feel the way we do is because God has written and coded into our soul universal themes, universal ideals about good and evil. Why is it that we always want to see the good guys win at the end? How many of you are like me that when a movie has a happy ending, you clap your hands? Come on, admit it. Come on. Why is it that we want a happy ending? Why are so many of the stories and so many of the movies that are told by Hollywood, they have the same basic format? They have love, they have adventure, danger, heroism, romance, sacrifice, battle between good and evil, light and darkness, and sometimes unlikely heroes, people that were weak and, you know, insignificant in themselves, all of a sudden are called up to be champions, called up to be leaders, called up to be heroes. And you say, how could they do this? Insurmountable odds. Even great friendships that are built between the good guys. There's a camaraderie among the good guys. You see this in the movies. There's hope that good will prevail. Justice will finally triumph. And there will be rewards for those who were victorious in the struggle. Amen. You see that in probably 1,000 different movies. As a matter of fact, a movie recently that was released, The Avengers Endgame, was so popular, it has now approached $3 billion in sales. $3 billion worth of movie tickets. $3 billion. What is it about? It's about the end of the story, The Avengers Endgame. I'm not asking you to go see it, but I'm saying there's something that resonates in the heart of people. Because the movie before that shows that the bad guys were winning. So everybody wanted to go see the end game because the end shows the good guys winning. Hallelujah. How many of you know the good guys do win at the end? There's a happy ending. What I'm saying this morning is that God has a large story, a larger story. And it's unfolding in time and history, and it will continue to unfold in eternity. And guess what? You have been called to be a part of it. God has written you into the story. He's written your name into the script. How many of you have ever been in a drama, a play at school? Anybody have ever been into a play? And they give you a script with your name on the top. Okay, Mary, this is your part. Okay? Hello, Joe. This is your part. Every one of us has been written into God's story. We may not know it. We may feel like that person who goes into a mall. Have you ever been into a mall and you don't know where the store is, and so you go to the mall directory? And the mall directory can also be very confusing. It's this gigantic map with all these stores coded A, B, 1, C, 1, D, 1, D, 3. And it's like a Chinese menu. I don't know. I mean, it's just... I'm sorry, I hope I didn't offend any Chinese people that are here. But thankfully, there's a little star. If you look close at the mall directory, it says, "You are here." Everybody say, "You are here."
You are
here. You are here. You are here in the body of Christ. You are here at Catalyst. You are where you are because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are invited to be a part of the greater story of God. And so today I hope to call you to a greater understanding of how your story is a part of God's story. Fortunately, we have the whole script. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have God's book. And in this book, you have past, present, and future. You have the whole story of God, the whole story of history from time past in eternity to time in the future forever and ever. We will reign with Christ through all eternity. Many songs have been written about it. And let me tell you a little bit about the story. Some of you know about it, but I'm going to try to frame it in a little different way this morning. It's a story of a great loving king, a creator, who created all things perfect. He created a perfect world. All things good and perfect. The way we dream about things should be. You ever dream about a perfect world? I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I hope this is resonating with somebody. Don't lose your spiritual ideals. Some of you have the hope that you could have a good marriage. That's a spiritual ideal. It's a good thing. Don't give up that you can have a healthy body, because God wants you to have a healthy body. Hallelujah. Don't give up on the ideal that your children can follow the Lord, because that's God's promise. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The devil tries to steal our dreams, to kill our dreams. But God has set eternity in our hearts, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. God has put some dreams, some ideals in your heart. We have the dream that there could be a forever after, that they all live happily ever after. It sounds so naive, but in fact, that comes from the Bible. Because those who follow God will live happily ever after. Amen. Stay with me now. So God created, God, who is the great king, created a perfect world, but evil entered into his realm. A rebellious leader who betrayed the king and even deceived the first parents had been cast out of his lofty position, cast out of heaven, where he was with God at one time. For generations, all-out war has raged. Where's Jerry? All-out war has raged as the king's enemy, filled with hate, continues to try to kill, steal, and destroy the hearts and souls of God's people. I'm talking Bible here this morning. I hope somebody is amening me right now. Generations of war have raged as the king's enemy, filled with hate, continues to try to kill, steal, and destroy, and to subvert the kingdom of the heavenly king. But he can't do it, because we already know the end of the story. Hallelujah. But we're in the middle of the story. You are here. And how you live and how you act plays a very important part of whether or not you will be victorious in the story, whether you will be successful, whether you be fulfilled in terms of your calling, in terms of your gifting, in terms of the purpose that God has you on this earth. Amen. And the cool thing about this is not a fairy tale. This is God's reality. What I'm talking to you about today, the story of the great king and his invitation to you, is not a fairy tale. It's even more real than the physical reality of me standing behind this podium this morning. God's spiritual reality is sure to come. Somebody say amen. Amen. Matthew 22, what we read before, Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come." So we have an invitation. God has invited us to be part of the greatest celebration that this world has never seen. The great celebration in eternity in heaven of the union of Christ with his bride. Yes. When we will be eternally united with his son. You know, some people have died without much in this world. And I had a funeral service one time for a sister. This is just a little sidetrack here. Poke your neighbor and say, pay attention to this because this is going to be good. This is going to be good. All right, thank you. Keep praying. Keep praying for me. Sister Josie. You remember Sister Josie? Sweet little Puerto Rican lady in Staten Island. She worked menial jobs all her life. Never had much. I went to see her many times, served her communion many times. Lived in a tiny little apartment. But that lady was a Sunday school teacher and a volunteer in the children's ministry. Those of you who volunteer in the children's ministry, pat yourself on the back for a second, all right? She led more children to Christ. She had more children who turned out to be Christian as adults than I had ever seen. And she had people who kept talking about her class. Years and years later, they would talk about Sister Josie had an impact on my life. So when I did her funeral memorial service, Gloria, I said, she's never been invited to the White House. She never knew anybody famous. But right now, Sister Josie is holding an invitation in her hand to the greatest banquet, the greatest wedding feast, the greatest celebration that mankind has ever known. She's going to be at the King's table. Hallelujah. Say it. I'm going to be at the King's table. You've been invited by the King to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Some refuse to come. But see, not only are we invited as guests, but we are part of the reason for the celebration. Because the celebration is going to be about our union with Christ. It's going to be about the people who from every tongue and tribe and nation of the world, from the east, the west, the south, and the north, have been called together, who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And they are the redeemed, who God puts the robes, hallelujah, the holy linen upon them. And have kept themselves pure for God. We'll be united with Christ. We'll be celebrated. We'll be rewarded. And we'll have the joy of being in His presence and seeing His face. I don't know about you, but I got goosebumps all over my body this morning. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but I want to summarize the main points. The King loves you, number one. This is a love story. God wants you to celebrate His Son, the one who lived and died for us, the one who gave His life for us. Hallelujah. He loves you so much, He wants you to be part of His family. He wants to restore you because the evil one has tried to poison the heart of every man and woman and boy and girl. And so God set a plan in place to bring you back to Himself, to deliver you out of the domain of darkness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. Ephesians 1, 4 to 7. Even before He made the world, God loved us. Amen. Say, He loved me before the beginning of the world. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in His kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave us our sins. Wow. Wow. What an honor. That's why when people have trouble with self-esteem and they feel insecure, I tell them, who died for you? Who created you? First of all, who created you? God the Father. Created me. I'm God's masterpiece. Does that make you worth something? I guess so. And then He loved you so much, He came after you. He died for you. Number two, He made you and he died for you. What great love the king had for us. So compelled by his great love, he sets into motion the plan that he had before the world was created to send his son into the realm. He sent his son into the kingdom of this darkness, into this dark world, because he wanted to show us his love. Somebody said, I think it was Thomas, who said, Jesus, show us what God is like. And Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you've been with me 3 years now.
Has seen me, has seen the Father. If you see Jesus, you know what God is like. But not only did God want to restore us, but he wanted to fundamentally change the problem. Because the problem with the devil and the reason that he was able to deceive and the reason that there had been so much rebellion for hundreds and even thousands of years is because there's something wrong in the heart of man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln said it this way. He said, the evil lies in the hearts of men.
Yeah.
We have a sin problem.
Yeah.
We have a heart problem.
Yeah.
Our hearts are easily swayed. Our hearts become susceptible to the enemy's temptations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We give up too easily. We become discouraged. We become drawn away by lust, by pride, by independent thinking.
Yes.
So God said, I'm going to change the whole scenario. Because I'm not just going to rescue them, but I'm going to fundamentally change the heart of man. I'm going to not only send my son to die in their place, but I'm going to put my Holy Spirit inside of them to give them a brand new heart. Hallelujah. So they'll have the power to say no to the devil. Hallelujah. And they'll have the desire to live for God. You don't have to tell them, oh, obey the commandment. You're a bad boy. You didn't obey me this week. You didn't read your Bible. No, because when you have a new heart, you want to read the Bible. When you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you don't want to sin anymore. When you have the love of the Father and the love of the Son inside of you, you don't have to be chased by the pastor. Come on now. This is a love affair. We're talking about a love affair. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2.